Ahoy there, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with wild bankers and child spankers. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
How are you today, Adrian?
Pretty good. A little bit tired. I can't tell if it's because I got a flu vaccine or if it's because I've just been a little busy, but no, nothing too crazy. The only other thing that happened this week is I went to go watch, recommended by friend of the pod, Steve M. I went to go watch the 4K remaster of Perfect Blue. I found myself a nice little Tuesday afternoon to go watch it. I did not enjoy that it was me and two other schlubby dudes in the theater. That was it for us. Actually, three. I didn't realize there was a guy behind me until the very end.
Shout out to anime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that movie holds up. It's still fucking great. And the music is really nice in the theater, as Steve M pointed out. Yeah, fun time.
Cool.
Oh, the other thing was, I know you said that you don't, I think we both don't hear a lot of commercials these days, but I still get them on podcasts. And one podcast that I've been listening to, have you heard of the Welch's Fusions?
No.
Okay, it's a new Welch's fruit gummy that combines two fruit flavors together. And it's a little bit like when I talked about the, you know, I'm very in tune with like what diet sodas are out and about and what the advances in diet soda technology is. So I was pretty attuned to the Dr. Pepper 10 It's Not For Women campaign, where it was like rad dudes doing cool things outdoors, drinking Dr. Pepper 10, being like, it's not a diet soda. There's still 10 calories. It's not for women. This new Welch's fruit fusion gummy is selling itself as, for experienced taste buds only. This ain't for the little kids. And it's insane that there are people who get paid so much money to do this shit. It's so dumb. It's so transparent and stupid, but I do kind of like it. I do like how earnest it is in trying to send that message out to the world.
That you're a dumb baby who can't handle it if you don't buy their product.
Yeah, exactly. It's literally a Nathan Fielder bit of trying to gatekeep it away from
you. Should we make that our person?
Should we do like this podcast?
Yeah. Should we become people who hate ads? But oh, also, should we advertise our podcast like this? I guess honestly, though, isn't that most conservative podcasts where they're like the hard truth?
It's too edgy.
Yeah. Mm. You have to be a real adult to be able to handle our takes, and then their takes are just like black people shouldn't be allowed to vote or whatever.
Yeah. Well, what could we? Who would we tantalize by saying that they wouldn't be allowed or couldn't handle watching this? Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to go for like the too edgy or something for our edgy ass takes.
For our edgy takes. Man, is there anything worse than
for our edgy takes of like, you know, I like crunchy peanut butter sometimes. I don't think it's actually bad depending on what you're eating it on.
That's what I was about to say. The deflation of the term edgy or hot take. I was just making fun of conservatives for being like anti-miscegenation or whatever their hot takes are, but at least society as a whole actually abhors that take. Whenever you hear a liberal be like, oh, I have a hot take, and it ends up being that there's like one Taylor Swift song they don't love as much as the others, or whatever like a liberal hot take is.
Ooh, liberal hot takes. That's a new segment. Hold up. I didn't care much for Black Panther 2.
Paddington 3 could have had a better ad campaign. My hot take is that, why does everybody get so angry at each other? I like to see a little bit of both sides, left and right, you know?
Hey, there you go. That sounds like a tune we can all dance to.
I didn't have a media roundup, but I had a couple things I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay. Bring it in. What's up?
A couple nights ago, you know the app Too Good To Go? I think you put me on to it, actually.
Yeah.
I went to Kava to pick up a $4 bowl. I get there, and it's inside of it's inside a train station, so like big area. It's kind of like a food hall. When I walk in there, I'm like, okay, it's not like three more minutes till pickup time. The place looks very closed. So I just stand outside of the Kava. I'm like, maybe like somebody's, you know, cleaning out back and they're going to come hand it to me. A guy at the Chipotle across from the Kava is just sweeping up. I think he just generally works for maybe clothing like these restaurants in this area of the food hall. It's very like, I don't know, the way he delivered it, it felt like he was a character in a play with lines. He's like, what you doing over there? And I was like, oh, I have the Too Good To Go app. I'm waiting to pick up food. He's like, oh, that food isn't coming. I'm like, what do you mean? Do you know, like, the workers here? He's like, yeah, that's a scam.
Wait, what?
I was like, sorry? Like, the app's a scam? He's like, yeah, that app doesn't work. It's a scam. I'm like, I've used it before. He's like, it's a scam. I'm like, why do you keep saying it's a scam? I don't think it's a scam. Like, very reputable. I've gotten it at Whole Foods. Like, very reputable sellers have used this app. And now I'm arguing with this guy, Moppin, like, who's just, like, he feels like an NPC who only has one or two lines. Also, but like,
did you talk to one of the workers?
Nobody ever. It seemed like he closed for Kava. It didn't feel like I was about to have a conversation with him. It didn't feel like he was inviting me to come over and ask him more questions. But the way he kept saying it, I was like, seems like he knows the Kava employees have left. I waited for the opening time. Nobody showed up. Another person came for the too good to go. The person who came was like, oh yeah, this has happened to me before at a different place. They'll give us a refund. I was like, okay, maybe it is a scam. Maybe too good to go sometimes just lies about having.
So you went there the next day to resolve it?
No, I just contacted too good to go and they gave me back the money.
Oh, gotcha. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, I've only ever used it once, and it worked fine for me.
I know. I've used it at, like, Whole Foods multiple times, at a liquor store a couple times. It's always worked.
What are they... What time-sensitive stuff are they getting rid of at the liquor store?
At the liquor store, you can always... It really seems like just a heavily discounted menu that they put up there, but, yeah, it's, like, vodka and stuff for, like, $10. It is a very good deal. It is shockingly cheap. It's usually, like, flavored or something. It's not like you'd be like, ooh, this is, like, a really fancy whiskey. It's, like... bottom shelf flavored vodka, but for pretty cheap.
So you never got your Kava Bowl?
I never got my Kava Bowl.
I really had to infer that from context. That's like a Mexican style burrito bowl place?
Yeah, I think so. I've never been there before.
Gotcha, okay. Well, now you know.
And then the last thing I had, we want a pitcher, not a belly itcher. Do you remember that phrase?
We want a catcher, not a belly scratcher.
That's another one. Has your belly ever itched? Mine sure hasn't. What the fuck's going on here?
Oh, it feels so slobbish and uncouth. I think if I ever did have an itchy belly, I wouldn't scratch it in the worry that someone would film me or photograph me doing that.
I have looking like itchy arms, itchy legs, an itchy head, an itchy neck or back. Never an itchy belly.
You're covering a lot of your body right now.
Never an itchy belly.
Uh-huh.
Just saying. Which did send me down the rabbit hole. I went, what is a belly itcher? And I thought, 20th century America... probably some sort of racial slur.
Wait, did you think it was conceptual or did you think it was archaic or what's going on?
I thought it was some sort of old-timey racist slang.
Okay. All right.
And I looked it up.
And what did your research? Oh, okay. Well, it's always good to clear those. Yeah. It's always good to get that straight. But you didn't find an actual origin. There is just some population of people that are scratching their bellies.
Yeah, I didn't find an actual, like, there wasn't a website that had, like, a quick and easy etymology of, like, oh, it came up specifically in this scene at this date.
Why was this on your mind?
I don't know. Just, you know, sometimes you think about rhymes.
Okay, so you weren't, you are all about rhymes. I forgot about that. You are the rhyme lord. Okay, because I feel like I know it from that episode of The Simpsons about Homer becoming the mascot for the isotopes. I can't remember what classic episode
that is. Oh, you'd hear it around as a kid. It'd be around.
Oh, really? No, I heard that on The Simpsons. I did not hear that.
I feel like it showed up in children's media, and I always thought of We Want a Pitcher, Not a Belly Itcher as like an archaic saying from like the olden days. I was like, that was the...
like when they were first integrating blacks into baseball?
I was like, that was the best entertainment back in the 60s. That was their hip-hop. They were like, two words that rhyme? We've never heard that before. Do it again. I like the rhythm.
What's that? No, it's your cousin, Jake Master Flash. I got this new thing you need to hear. It's called rhyming.
All right, that's all I had to bring in.
Okay, that was pretty comprehensive. That was a lot. What did you make me think of when you were talking about that? Now I can't remember. Oh yeah, I was gonna bring up that's one of Adrian's pet peeves is people who use itch as a verb. I don't know if it's grammatically correct or if it's considered like colloquially
to itch
correct.
Something? How is it not a verb? I itched it.
You scratch it, you don't itch it.
No, you itch it. For sure.
No, you scratch it. What do you think you're doing?
Language
you're
evolves, scratching it. Dumbass. Also, there could be multiple words.
I literally started
there
my thing by saying
there could be multiple words
that,
for one thing.
Now you're switching up what
your argument
is.
Your argument is that you scratch something so you can't
itch
it.
First of all, look at you, emotional. Second of all, I started this off by saying, this is an Adrian pet peeve. I don't know what it's based in, but I'm saying it's a pet peeve of mine. Mm. I think it's a very Southern thing to do. A real redneck hick type thing to do. An uneducated thing to do, I would say. But, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying you sound a hayseed.
I'll take it. I'm a man of the people. You're kind of like an intellectual elite East Coast type.
Mm. Yeah. That's how we've always been described. That's always been our dynamic.
I'm definitely more of a man of the people than you. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Ask anybody. Ask the people. You couldn't because you don't know them like me. I asked.
Yeah.
They said I'm right.
That's just because I went to your block and I was asking about you. And
you don't even know where my block is, Adrian.
Oh, okay.
That's,
I don't know.
That's not what you're not from my block.
Well, yeah, I never claimed to be from your block, but I looked for you at your block.
And you don't even know where it is. Interesting. You don't even know the zip code.
Wow. That means I got pretty far off. That means I got pretty fucking far off.
No cap.
Oh, yeah. Our theme today is disciplining.
I thought it was corporal punishment.
Well, that's the only type of discipline you know, because you're a hard man. Or
punishment. Well, hard times make me hard.
But hard times make strong men, which make good times, which make weak men, which... Oh, no! They make bad times. And these are ideas
you were talking about that drive your politics?
Yep.
That makes sense.
I like that that's kind of like a historical materialist view of history, but the dumbest version of that. But discipline for children, yes.
All right, well, let's start with the obvious one. Paul, have your parents apologized for beating your ass as a kid?
They never touched me.
Really? Not in a loving way or threatening way? Is that why you're not ticklish?
Adrian, what a weird... What is this road we're going down here? Why are you accusing my parents of hitting me? I don't get this.
You weren't spanked as a kid?
No.
Really? Oh, interesting. I was. Really? I don't know. This is not like the craziest topic for me. My parents definitely spanked me as a kid, yeah.
Have they apologized to you?
No, they refused to.
Really?
Yeah. This is interesting, though. Okay, cool. So you really think of it as a completely foreign, like, it's insane that this would ever happen and I never knew anybody who it happened to type thing.
I mean, I had neighbors who were spanked and stuff. I just thought you knew I wasn't.
So he just emotionally abused you. Interesting.
No, my dad was very supportive. Why are you accusing my parents of heinous acts of abuse?
I don't know. Something must have happened to you.
Is it because something happened to you and now you're lashing out?
No, because look at you.
You can't even regulate your emotions because you were hit across your little emotional. Stupid tush as a kid.
Look at you. Emotional.
So do you like to be spanked in bed now?
I usually do the spanking.
To yourself. Okay. This is a masturbatory thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, like a little giddy up on a horsey type thing. Okay.
No, what are your thoughts on that? Somebody who was spanked?
I didn't love it. I'll say that.
I think it would be worse if you did.
I think the science behind it is that you're not supposed to do it, but I don't know how, like, when the, like, real collective evidence on that came pretty clear. But I think it's definitely
I've
clear
never
now,
looked it up,
within, like,
but enough people
years.
Say it that I have to believe it's 100% true. It'd be like if I came out denying, I don't know, what's something else that's generally agreed upon.
Is that one of, and I haven't finished the video yet, but is that like a war on science thing where it was never a popular idea to try and say that, or at least neutrally figure out whether or not it was useful, and so you kind of had, as a scientist, had to be like, we're going to get results that say it's not a good thing?
No, because you could do surveys, probably. Like, enough people spank their kids that it's not like, I don't know.
Gotcha, okay.
It seems like a pretty easy thing to study, right? You just ask people to self-report if they spank or don't spank and see, like, how people turn out or not. That does mean it's a psychological science, and a psychologist was doing
Paul
the research.
Has some hot takes about this,
which does lead me to think that maybe I've been misled.
Which means it could have only been done by a charlatan.
I was reading. Do you know the thinker? I guess is the best way to put him. Nassim Taleb.
No.
He had a really good article on why like IQ science is bunk. And he also has multiple times come out just hard. I was getting into it because he just is so negative about the field of psychology as like a research field. He's just constantly coming out being like, they don't understand the simplest things about statistics. They get their math wrong constantly. They are just charlatans and misleaders.
Is he from that field or is he... what's his background?
No, he's or is he a statistician? Has a math background, but he was trader, like a quant trader. Got rich doing that, then wrote a bunch of books. and now is, I guess, just like a generic thinker.
Nice.
Yeah. Also,
my advisor is still trying to get his Race and IQ stuff published. A lot of places don't like it.
I didn't know your advisor did Race and IQ stuff. That's so crazy.
Yeah, I told you about that before. That and the trying to get Pitbulls banders to side projects.
Well, he might know Nassim Taleb because another... this is like a pet project of his, because as a Lebanese man, Nassim Taleb is very interested in genetics. And I guess like a pet interest of his, I've noticed the genetics of whether or not like Lebanese people are descended of Phoenicians. And he's just always on about that.
Interesting.
I mean, which is something my dad believes, so I do like that it's just like old Lebanese man meets, like, has a brain for stats and science, and he's like, I can prove it. It's not, this isn't just a crank belief that I learned as a child, like other Lebanese people.
Is there a reason, I love that, by the way, advocacy science is always the way to go. You should go in trying to prove a point. what's up with your Maronite brother, Tony Shalhoub? He has a whole show about eating bread now. That's kind of cool.
Tony, I didn't know about this. Tony Shalhoub has a bread eating show?
I keep seeing the ads on it at the Planet Fitness. He has a CNN show about him eating bread, which is kind of like your dream job. Honestly, he's like, you should follow the Tony Shalhoub path.
I'm not a talented, charming actor, but maybe.
I kind of think anybody could make it work on the USA Network.
Is that what was he on? Monk?
Monk.
Is that what that was on?
I think so. Yeah, that was my neighbors always watched. I think it was the mom and dad who liked those shows, but the kids ended up watching a few of them. But yeah, like Burn Notice, Monk, whatever other shows came on that channel where I was like, this all seems so bad.
You didn't love Burn Notice as a kid?
No, although the premise was super cool.
Anyway. A theme.
Oh yeah, childhood punishment. Yeah, what else did you want to talk about?
Oh, how else were you punished? If you weren't getting spanked, what was the, do you have a memory of a time when you were like, oh, this isn't spanking material, but you got spanked and you were like, that's not fair. That, come on.
Ooh, you know what? If we are getting into trauma, that's maybe the most traumatic one. It was like a week after I got home from being diagnosed with diabetes, where like I got something wrong that I was supposed to have learned, and so my mom spanked me because she was frustrated with me not knowing how to take care of myself.
Yeah, that doesn't seem good, but I guess maybe for her it was a fear that you were going to lose a limb because you're not eating correctly or something.
My dad still doesn't know what's going on. My dad doesn't know what a low blood sugar is, whereas my mom has been through, is diabetic and was gestational diabetic, so I think she kind of gets it.
That does seem unfair.
Yeah, I've been in like a life-threatening situation before where my dad had no idea what was going on.
It was like, I think he has a case of that bad blood.
Two different ways to handle your son having a chronic illness. No, the other like specific. Well, there is the Latino stereotype. I did get hit with a shoe. Mm. That was true, with the flip flop.
But you didn't live with your. You didn't live with your grandma.
No. The other thing that I remember. So not only was I spanked by my parents, but also my neighbor's parents, who I spent a lot of time with. I don't think the dad ever spanked me. I think he was just stern and scary, so I just never really wanted to get in trouble with him anyways. But the mom, who was a medical doctor, by the way, so if we're talking about people who should know the science and had a degree in psychology, she spanked me before. And there was this one time where I think me and one of the neighbors got in trouble, and she picked out a belt. And she was spanking us, and it was this like pink belt that I think belonged to her daughter, but like it was made out of some kind of material where like it literally could not produce force. So like she was spanking us and we weren't having any kind of reaction. And so we started laughing, and then when she realized what was happening, she was like, all right, well, there's no like going back to being stern after this. I guess you guys get off for this one, whatever. go do whatever else you're gonna do with your day.
What'd you guys do wrong for that one?
We killed a man. Yeah. We got excited when the mailman showed up. We didn't know what his vibe was about, so we started barking at him and then started chasing him. So wait, then how were you punished as a kid then? What was your character stick?
You might be shocked by this because of how good I turned out, but I don't think I really was punished. I guess no TV was a big one.
So that's okay, so
no TV and just get out of my face, go to your room. But that's like one of those ones where it's like stereotypically is not that bad a punishment because like your room is where your toys are. So it's really more just like.
But then they're taking away some of the toys. They're doing some negative reinforcement. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I think those were the big two.
Okay. So you didn't get to spend time with your parents. They'd banish you away, which was your favorite thing to do. Hanging out with your parents.
Yeah. I wasn't rewarded too much either. I didn't really have one of those parents that were like, oh, you get $20 for every A or whatever. I always thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah, though. Yeah. I always tried to float that idea to my parents, but it never stuck.
There wasn't a lot of carrot or stick, I think. I don't know what it is. I guess my parents got lucky in that I don't think any of us had any big behavioral issues. I don't know what their instincts would have been for a more severe punishment.
It sounds like they would have banished you from the house and you'd have just gone into the woods to live in the bamboo forest.
I would have just got, yeah. No, I think something probably a little less ridiculous. But hey, who knows? Maybe they would have banished me. Stick and bindle.
What do you think they would have done if they found you smoking a pack of cigarettes?
I don't think it would have been that bad.
They wouldn't
bad.
Have made you smoke a whole carton?
If it was like middle school, I think they would have been more concerned about how I got them than about...
How did you get those Cubanos? Those are from Cuba.
than about the fact that I was smoking them, if that makes sense.
Okay. So they'd worry about who your supply guy was.
I think so. I think
they'd be hunting
like,
the source.
I don't think you should know somebody who'd buy this for a middle schooler. That's scary. You're interacting with that man. Let's fix that situation.
Okay, that's smart. Okay, so they're prioritizing the problems. That's interesting.
Or I guess the other thing would be that I stole them from somebody, which would also be more concerning than the fact that I was smoking a cigarette. So I think either way I got a hold of a pack of cigarettes would concern them.
All right, so when or if you have kids, what are you going to do? What's your plan? You going to read a couple books before they come, or do you already have like a strategy outlined?
I think I would read parenting books.
But which ones? I feel like you're such a skeptical person. Where would you even begin?
Oh, especially with psychology, you're right. I don't know. I think I would just read the generic ones, like the ones that everybody's like, oh, this is the ABCs of parenting. This is a beginner. It's like, you're right. I wouldn't read like any book that was a new theory or like...
You wouldn't get into like the gentle parenting movement?
A specific theory, I'd be like, that's fine. I don't need whatever that is. I just want the one that will make sure that I don't do anything super bad.
I don't know why. I feel like I could see you getting into like, did you guys know that there's this Austrian village of 100 people that parents their kids this way and they actually have a book about how they do it?
Really? I feel like the opposite.
It's called the Spiegelman method.
I hear stuff like that and I just immediately think bullshit.
95% of the kids from that village end up with doctoral degrees.
How would you discipline your kid?
By coming into a napkin?
What?
Yeah, I'm never going to have kids. What do you mean? I'm never going to have them in the first place.
Well, before I realized that's what you meant, that was very concerning.
Well, when I'm sure the people in our audience who are quicker than you will get what I'm saying. Yeah, this is a problem I don't have to worry about. I don't have to worry about passing on my generational trauma or my carbon footprint.
Okay, but let's say through like some sort of whimsical situation, you ended up having to foster a child. Like you...
Okay, well, first of all, I'd let a manga artist write about it because that's going to be a great little slice of life story.
Okay.
That's step one.
How are you disciplining that kid?
I don't know. I'd probably have to research it. I mean, when I was looking up articles for this, I was reading articles saying that timeouts are too much for kids, so I really don't know. It depends on how reasonable my kid is. If I just have to do the one, I'd probably figure out how to tailor it to their specific personality.
Did you ever see a friend or like a friend told you about like getting disciplined and you're like, that's odd that your parents do that or that's how you're disciplined?
You know, my mind first goes to stories that we've told on the pod, like when my friends got yelled at in front of me, which I never enjoyed because it was like, hey, maybe do this after I leave.
I agree with that. That always made me uncomfortable, too. It's like, you know,
this doesn't make me feel welcome here.
Yeah, it's an odd vibe that you would yell at your kid while I'm around.
But in terms of what was your thing? Have I heard of a punishment? I don't know, because I didn't once I became like a teenager, I guess past spanking age as a kid. I didn't really get in trouble. So, like, any kind of punishment of, like, grounding or, like, not being able to go out, not being able to have your car, not being able to see friends, all of that felt extreme to me because I never had to go through that. But I can't think of one where, like, it seemed concerning in any way.
No cap.
One time Coach Darlington tried to made us do that. He made us do, like, wall sits because somebody had flushed somebody's ID. And he was like, you're going to tell me who did this. And until you do, you have to do what I say. And he was like, okay.
Isn't collective punishment against the Geneva Convention?
Yeah. So everybody in the class had to do wall sits and planks. And eventually, like, once we were doing the planks, I was like, I'm pretty sure I could just stop doing this. I don't think he's going to, like, do anything to me for
that. Oh, yeah. He's not a police. He's not my
also,
dad.
What is he going to do? Like, if my abs fail to do a plank, like...
Oh, okay. So, yeah, interesting. So, wait, did you ever get, like, punished at school then? Since your parents were unwilling to correct your behavior in any way?
Nah, I was a good kid. Actually, I did get... I feel like the worst punishments at school I got were, like, talkings, too. Like, I had some teachers get upset at me about stuff. I was a, what do you call it? I was a distracted kid. So I feel like I got in trouble a handful of times. And I think teachers didn't want to send me to detention because I wasn't like, I obviously wasn't doing it maliciously. Oh, you've
gotten eaten alive there, kid. Kid. They got told by other teachers. They were like, you can't send Paul to detention. He would not make it through. I think
detention at our school was just a boring room he sat in.
You cannot put him in there with Molly Ringwald and that burnout kid.
He'll come out of there too changed. But yeah, I think I used to like draw on desks and stuff, and that always got me in trouble. That's all we thought.
Oh, yeah. That's like I got in trouble so few times in elementary school that I remember having to like change my green light sailboat into a yellow light once, and that was like devastating to me. Because if you make it to the red light, you're fucked. Your permanent record's destroyed. Did you ever get annoyed by your friends not being able to hang out because they were grounded for whatever reason? I think the only thing that ever inconvenienced me is there were some girls that I was talking to where they would get in trouble and they wouldn't be able to use their phone for like a month.
Adrian, I hate to break the bad news to you.
Mm-hmm.
They were texting other guys.
They were texting you?
Yeah.
Because if you had her and I had her, she'd never mattered. I don't know what to tell you, Paul. This ain't big news to me.
More in elementary school, I remember my neighbors, their parents would sometimes be like, no, they can't come out to play. They're in trouble. And I'd be like, that's bullshit.
Why am I being punished? I did nothing wrong.
I did nothing wrong.
I don't know. Interesting. Okay.
Cool. Should we get into articles? I feel like this is something where we need to see some actual bad behavior and decide how we would discipline the child.
I didn't realize. Maybe we have talked. I mean, I'm sure we have talked about it, but I really had no idea that you had like no experience or anything with this.
Oh, do you have something else you want to talk about? Let me open up the space for you to.
But what did we not touch on? I don't think I ever got in trouble in church, and I wasn't Catholic, so I wasn't getting like a ruler or anything like that. And then like soccer practice, I think you just got like timeouts.
Oh, soccer practice. Okay. Interesting. What'd you do wrong there? You fouled a kid during practice and they couldn't red card you?
Well, yeah, during practice, the rules don't apply like that. There's not a referee. So yeah, you just kind of get given a timeout or whatever. And there were certain things where like, yeah, kind of like what you were saying with Coach Darlington, where like someone does something, or we're not all trying hard enough collectively, so everyone runs more laps or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was whatever.
It really felt like such a stupid thing when Coach Darlington did it. I was like, you're trying to impart this sense of like, this is scary and we're all being punished, but I'm a nerd and it feels like silly to me. So unless this kid who did it is really stupid, everybody's just getting the same sense of you're an old man flailing and nobody's going to be like, oh no, I better tell the truth or else this old man will embarrass himself for longer.
Ooh, there was a time where, and man, thank God this never happened to me, which I guess I have one less interesting story than I would have had because nothing really bad happened. But it was, I think, Mark and like some other people who were in Mark's car driving down Main Street in Lexington. They get pulled over. Whoever had weed, I think it was, I don't think it was, I think it was a different guy. He hides his weed somewhere in Mark's car. The police smells the weed because I think they'd been smoking. He searches the car, finds the weed, and then does the thing where they're all on the sidewalk or whatever. I think Coleman might have been there too. But he's like, hey, yeah, I found weed. Someone needs to tell me whose it is. Otherwise, we're going to get all of you in trouble. And so the guy whose weed it was specifically did the thing of like being like, well, it's not mine, but I guess I'll take the blame so everybody doesn't get in trouble. And everyone was like, fuck you, dude, it was yours.
That's so funny. I love that so much. The guy whose it was doing that. It's not mine.
Like pretend that you're like a martyr. Yeah. It was a pretty cool move. I remember people being mad about that for a long time.
Well, you're actually a cool guy, so I'll let you off. That's so cool.
No cap.
All right, so my advice column is from Slate. It is Jamila Lemieux. It is Karen Feeding. So you know him, you love him. Let's get into it. Dear Karen Feeding, I've recently been trying to reconnect more with my half-sister, who is in her mid-40s and about 20 years my senior. We became really close several years ago, but when we both moved, the pandemic happened. She voiced borderline anti-vax views, and the closeness I used to feel with her dissipated to my great sadness. I'd already been trying to figure out how to broach some of these issues when she related to me a story about her 6-year-old stepson, quote-unquote Johnny. Apparently, Johnny was very curious about an antique tea set my sister inherited from her mom. She caught him playing with it once and warned him he'd be severely punished if she caught him at it again. Well, sure enough, he played with it again and broke two of the teacups. He denied doing it, but she spanked him. I'm stunned. I don't know if our dad spanked her, but he did spank me once that I recall vividly when I was 5. I didn't quote-unquote learn my lesson, I hadn't even done anything wrong. Instead, I just learned that he couldn't be trusted. It so terrified me that I was afraid to turn my back to my father for weeks after, because I thought he might suddenly be seized by the urge to hit me again. My first instinct was to tell my sister that I consider spanking children to be basically abuse. However, I didn't want to alienate her by calling her abusive, especially since spanking is still, somehow, socially acceptable. This has been bothering me ever since, and I can't think of how to approach it with her, or if I should at all. I don't have kids yet, but I feel like the responsible decision would have been to lock up the tea set, especially once she realized Johnny was interested. I mean, he's 6. He's curious. Kids break things, so childproof your home and lock important stuff up. That seems natural. Is spanking ever acceptable anymore? Could this be a generational divide? I certainly won't be spanking my kids. How big of a deal is this? And how big of a deal should I make out of this? I know this column often advises butting out over differences of opinion when it comes to parenting. Does spanking count as a difference of opinion? And should I just quietly disagree? My husband and my best friend agree it was wrong, but think I shouldn't say anything. Do I need to mind my own business? From Spooked about spanking.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts on this?
I don't appreciate the victim blaming.
I thought she did the opposite. She said the child wasn't to blame.
No, she blamed the mom for leaving out her delicious little tea set everywhere for the kid to play with. That's crazy.
Yeah. The mom victim. Okay. And now she's being villainized just for hitting her little child.
Yeah. Part of this was the tea set angle. You know, that's my dream one day to own an antique tea set. And luckily I won't have kids, but if I did, I would understand why they want to play with them. They're beautiful. And tea time's fun.
But you would be responsible enough to put away your tea set if little children were around.
Well, I'd lock up my tea set in a safe, but I'd leave my guns out.
Well, yeah.
Because I'd have to make room for my tea sets. How much of this do you think is colored by the fact that this person has, like, one very pinpointed traumatic experience with spanking? I don't think that's most people's experience.
Yeah, that did seem a little bit, like, I mean, is spanking abuse? I don't know, but the way they clearly had like a very emotional reaction of it being like a lot more of like a scary abuse than I think it is internalized by most people. I don't think most people think about it like that. Felt like how people describe usually much more intense abuse.
Which I feel like might lead Jamila to maybe err on the side of, like, maybe this is just something you don't need to talk about unless you hear about it again. I don't know.
Yeah, I will say it does sound like they're a little close to it, especially the fact that it's a half-sister and they shared the same dad. It feels like this is all bringing up some real, like, father resentment type stuff over, like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's a sad story, but how much is, like, how your 5-year-old mind, like, you were spanked once, which isn't great, but, like, the fact that it affected you so much and lives in your mind so starkly does mean that maybe you're a little close to this issue in a way that's not, you're not gonna engage nicely with your half-sister who shared the same dad.
Now, should you teach the child self-defense?
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Or booby trap your pants.
Mm.
Put a whoopee cushion in there. That way she thinks you're farting in response.
Just make a fart sound every time they spank you. Like Adrian said, he found a way to get out of spanking, which is if you make the situation humorous, it really kills the vibe. Yeah,
there you go. Or if you want to go more hardcore, do some spikes or something. I don't know.
The child jokes so that they can always get out of it.
Yeah. That way when he breaks the tea set, he can be like, did I do that?
She'll be like, that's too delightful. I can't punish you.
Mm-hmm. Also, is this, I guess it was an only child, but why not teach your child how to lie better or how to get out of things better? How to come up with fanciful stories of how things happened.
You think the problem is this kid doesn't know how to yes and?
Well, I think that they're too honest. And if you're having a situation where you're going to be abused for being honest, you have to teach them how to lie.
How much one-on-one time do you think she gets with this out-of-state child who's moved away?
It sounds like she's got a lot of time to think about this. So I'm sure she's got time to Zoom with them or something.
I will say, you know, I agree with this question asker in most ways, but the tone of it is very, like, stereotypically liberal. Like, just the, like, little offhanded, she's an anti-vaxxer. And it's like, okay, some people are, but, like, it doesn't make her a piece of shit. Like, including that feels so skeezy in a way. Could you believe
it? Oh, you think she's trying to stack the
could you believe this shitty anti-vax mom? And it's like, look, I agree with you. That's a wrong belief. She'll spank
her kid, but she won't poke her kid. That's crazy.
That's a wrong belief, but like...
Oh, wait, yeah. If this kid isn't getting vaxxed, they're not going to live that long anyways.
It's fine.
He ain't going to invest that much time, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's something about it that's
So this is a mid-20-year-old trying to speak to a mid-45. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. I don't know if the power dynamic was going to work that way.
I mean, is this a generational thing? Probably. I bet her dad spanked her sister a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And stopped doing it because culture turned against it when the 20-year-old was growing up.
The anti-vax views are borderline, so it could just be hesitancy. Do you think she was talking about, like, the Tuskegee experiment, or what do you think she was talking about when she was talking about?
I thought the Tuskegee experiment was that they didn't vaccinate the people for real. They lied about vaccinating.
Yeah.
And then they gave them a disease on purpose? What happened?
Yeah, I thought it was syphilis or something like that. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. We're fucked up.
It's about distrust in the government providing vaccines, yeah. She might be outwoking her sister.
Mm.
Oh, he did deny doing it. Never mind. He had good instincts.
I think the worst case scenario is you spank the kid and he actually didn't do it. That's probably, like, very traumatizing. Oh.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, she's saying it's a very stark memory, so who am I to question her? But she's very big on the fact that when she got spanked, she didn't do anything wrong, which was part of, like, the why it's wrong thing. Yeah, and in terms of, like, the cultural aspect of spanking being socially acceptable, I don't actually know about that. All the parents that I know don't do it anymore, so I don't know. I don't know who's still doing it.
Yeah, well, this was posted in 2022. Yeah, it's been socially unacceptable for, like, two decades now. This is pretty outdated of this mom.
Do you think it should be, like a swear jar where, like, every time you spank your kid, you have to put money into a therapy fund for them?
Is there ever going to be enough therapy, Adrian?
I would hope so. Otherwise, I don't know, yeah.
Okay, I just saw the part you were talking about. I hadn't even done anything wrong. Yeah, this is pathological for this person. I would recommend she doesn't talk to the sister. There's something she has. If she needs to talk to the sister, she needs to, like, have her husband do it or something. Like, this is, for her...
That's the most anti-feminist thing I've heard on this podcast, and I've heard plenty of anti-feminist things on this podcast.
She's too close to the game. This is too personal for her.
Damn, okay. And you don't think emotion isn't a way to appeal to people's sense of right and wrong.
Cool. Do you want to read the answer?
Yeah, sure. Let's get into it. All right. Let's see if your predictions are correct. Dear SAS, the dangers of spanking and other forms of corporal punishment are so widely agreed upon by parenting experts, not advice column ones, I mean scholars and doctors, that I don't think this one is one of those topics where you can agree to disagree. Okay, 1 point for Paul. This piece from the American Psychological Association, 1 point against Paul, hacks, frauds, is one of many you can share with her that discusses both the potential harm caused by physical discipline, including increased aggression, antisocial behavior, physical injury, and mental health problems, and the agreement among researchers that spanking is an ineffective tool anyway. Not only can you traumatize your children in the process, but you're unlikely to get the sort of results you were looking for in the first place. To answer your question, is spanking ever acceptable? To a good number of people across the globe, unfortunately, yes. To the number of people who have committed their lives to understanding how it affects children, emphatically no. You may have experts on your side, but your sister very well may have a large number of Americans. That doesn't mean that she doesn't need to hear your take. Far from it, you love her and her child and only want what is best for them. And you owe it to your nephew to kindly encourage your sister to explore new ways to enforce household rules. Be patient, be understanding, be unwavering. From Jamila. All right, yeah. I'm glad that Jamila acknowledges, as very few people do, that just bringing somebody studies isn't probably going to change their behavior. I learned that lesson the hard way.
Who were you trying to convince with studies?
A coworker at Trader Joe's who didn't like GMOs. So I downloaded a bunch of primary literature to his laptop that night while we were getting drunk together.
But what if he didn't like them because of the unfair labor practices of Monsanto patenting the seeds? and then sit.
Okay, well, that's very good investigative journalism, Paul. So what's interesting is that we talked about it, and I got to hear what his points were, and I got to know that those weren't the points he was making. That was the interesting part about it.
He just thought it was he just thought it made the seeds more dirty.
His main point was, think about the smallest, juiciest little blueberry you picked out from the woods. Isn't that what all of our produce should be?
That is convincing, actually. What was your counter-argument? The juicy
I was citing research and putting papers into his thing. I was doing it all the wrong way.
Yeah, but are those papers you even read, Adrian?
I read the abstracts.
Oh, okay.
No cap.
All right, Paul, what you got for us?
I brought in Miss Manners. I don't want to discipline my kids at my house, but if you do nothing, I have no choice. Dear Miss Manners, we invited over some of my partner's friends who all have young children. Our children are grown, but we adore kids. We understand that kids make messes. We childproofed by moving breakable objects out of reach. We brought out a selection of toys for them to play with. We offered cookies and crackers and fully expected to have to vacuum after their visit. We have a fruit bowl in our kitchen, and it was out of reach for the small children. It was not on the table for the guests to grab like the other snacks. One of the other guests wandered over, selected a peach, and handed it to her toddler. The toddler then marched around the house eating a dripping peach. He dropped it on the carpet, leaving a visible smear of sticky juice, and the parent picked up the peach, washed it, and then handed it back to the toddler. The toddler dropped it again, and the parent threw away the half-eaten peach, and then selected another peach and handed it to the child, who proceeded to continue to eat and drop the second peach.
Hey, yo!
The parents were completely unconcerned about the mess the kid made and didn't seem to notice or care when I was on the floor scrubbing the stains, somewhat theatrically. I was so taken aback that I didn't say anything. What could I have done?
Been more theatrical.
Yeah, you should have gone and put on your little maid outfit. Oh, I guess I just have to do all the cleaning work because of the stupid kid.
Yeah, I love when the way you get your point across is by doing something dramatically. That's pretty cool.
And then you brag about it like it was the right move.
Yeah.
They didn't notice that I was throwing a little pity party.
Okay, this is pretty fun. I like this one. I will say off rip, I was expecting one of us to bring one in on this because it was by far one of the most common types of advice columns. So before we get into your advice, did you want to say anything about the really common theme about parents not aligning in the way that they wanted to discipline their kids?
You know, I saw two on Slate, which feels like too many, of somebody being concerned that the other parent wanted to give away a pet as a punishment.
Oh, the ones that I saw was like, my wife keeps being too easy on my kids when we're trying to like present a united front or whatever, was the ones that I kept seeing.
Now, one was their daughter was a real bully, and she'd let a neighborhood girl's pet dog out of their backyard, and it wasn't found, but she was caught on camera. And so the mom was like, we should give away the cat to my sister. And the dad was like, we can't give away a pet as a punishment.
It seems like he just likes the cat.
And then there was another one where it was like a wife who's like, my husband just says it's so useful. They do whatever he says whenever he threatens to give away the dog.
That's
and
a good point.
Like, I don't think that's all right. And he would never do it. But he says it's a great tool in his tool belt and he's not giving it up.
Hey, that might be trauma. That is a funny story to tell as an adult, though. You're kind of setting them up with a good story and you're teaching them lessons. That's funny. I did not see those, but those are good.
But that's not what we're answering.
Yeah. About the peach kid. About peach dad.
This reminds me of your column and the through line.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that one of my main experiences from when I lived in the apartment with Dora Lee.
Dora Lee used to drop peaches on the floor.
Well, that too. But unrelated to Dora Lee, it was when I had a trail mix snack tray. Not a tray, just like a bowl with trail mix in it that I would leave out in my room. And it did bug me that whenever people came to hang out in my room, they thought it meant that that was like my communal tray of trail mix. And I was like, no, this is kind of expensive. This is for me. This is my little nibble treat while I'm walking around my room and doing stuff. And I did like tell multiple people and it felt very petty to be like, no, that's not just for everybody. That's not my fruit bowl for everyone. That's my Adrian snack bowl.
The through line I see between these two columns is that the person is in the right. And the last column, she was in the right, and in this column, they're in the right.
Obscene behavior, yeah.
That was very rude of the parent to do that. Well, I wouldn't go obscene. I think it was slightly rude.
I think it was obscene. I would have also been in a huff trying to clean it up.
But the asker is also, there's something about them that's so self-concerned. I don't know, maybe haughty is the right word. There's something about it where they're just so scandalized in a way that's like, maybe you're not the right person to handle this. It seems like you're letting this get to you in a really base way that doesn't, even though you're right, you're also too into how you're right.
Interesting.
No, to me, it's like, it is rude for the person to grab a fruit from, like, a fruit bowl that wasn't, like, obviously out for guests. But also, it's like, it's a hungry kid.
Those are two good peaches.
Yeah, the parent was being rude, not cleaning it up themselves. Like, obviously, most nice people would be like, oh my goodness, my kid did that, let me be the one to clean it up. They're being rude. The question asker is being so, like, I don't know, they just annoy me the way they're talking about it. Let me find the particular phrases. And then selected another all caps peach and handed it to the child.
That one gets me. I don't know, you're gonna ruin one of my peaches and your solution's gonna be ruining another one of my peaches.
The way they wrote dropped it on the carpet, leaving a visible smear of sticky juice. Okay, it's a peach hit your carpet. Calm down.
Like, yeah, a second peach hit the carpet. She was reading to kids, and someone had to go over there and tell her, a second peach has hit the carpet.
The peach doesn't have that much juice on it. They're like, the carpet flooded with...
See, that's the issue. You're not buying good peaches, so you're not that mad about someone stealing your peaches.
You're the one who's not getting good peaches.
Well, apparently I am.
You're the one who doesn't know where to buy good peaches. You don't even know the good farmer's market in Gaffney.
Interesting. You know California produces more peaches than South Carolina.
Do they? That can't be true.
I think it's probably true.
We're so proud of how we produce more peaches than Georgia.
Yeah,
it's a part of that story that we're leaving out, that there's a state that produces more than us.
Yeah, there's a place that has, if it was its own country, would be the third largest economy.
That doesn't mean they know how to make peaches.
It's literally the Central Valley is most of where economic output happens. Yeah, I'm sorry you don't have good peaches, Paul, that you feel really... Yeah, I think you're overhating on this question asker. I think they're in the right.
They're definitely in the wrong. The toddler does not need to be punished. The parent is the one who's in the wrong. What are you going to yell at a toddler for dropping a fruit? It's not their fault.
At the end of the day, you can just not invite these people back over or not do this again. Or do it somewhere like a park. But the other thing I wanted to say was, when you first read the title, I was really worried this was going to get into the territory of, like, someone else spanked my kid, and now I have to confront someone who spanked my kid, which is, like, a way darker article. This is a much easier one where you can just tell these people never to come back to your house again.
Yeah, I guess so. Or make it clear that kids aren't invited.
Yeah. Or barbed wire around your fruit.
Yeah, make it really obvious it's not for guests.
This is the reason people have annoying things that you see at their house. It's why they have a sticky note that says, like, fruit bowl not for the public or whatever. And you go, why do they have that? And you're like, yeah, it's probably a story behind that.
Even then, come on. No, I think that makes the person who put the sticky note still is odd.
Yeah. Their fruit needs the light. They can't just leave it in the cupboard or something like that.
I forgot. You're more of, like, a power trip type person than me.
Hmm.
But, you know, I will say, they seem scandalized by the peach thing. What would they
have
done?
This is why you put a razor blade in an apple.
What would they have done if the parent had said, can I give this peach to my child? What are you going to do? Deny the child a peach? You're going to deny a child?
I would say your kid doesn't understand the quality that this peach has.
What are you even talking about? You didn't get it from the good farmer's market in Gaffney.
No, that's exactly where I got it. And that's what I would say. And I would say, I've got cookies and crackers for these little dipshits, and they can eat those.
Honestly, crackers does seem more appropriate for a child to try to eat alone.
Haven't you seen all of the picky eater apologia about how kids don't like fruit because they're variable, but crackers the same no matter what cracker the cracker is?
Is that true? That's what people say about
Yeah, that's what people say eaters? About why picky eaters are the way they are. They crave consistency. And every goldfish tastes exactly the same. Whereas fruit, that's variable. That could be a bad fruit. But now, what were we saying about this child and the peach?
Oh, yeah. It's weird to me that they framed it as, I want to punish the child. Like, why would you want to punish the child for the parent handing them a fruit? That's odd.
Sins of the father.
You know, now that I'm rereading it, I don't think they did frame it like that. I think it was Miss Manners who added that framing to the title. Nowhere in the actual letter did they imply that they wanted to punish the child. I feel like Miss Manners has just...
She knows how to draw in the reader.
Yeah.
She knows how to get those juicy, juicy clicks. Yeah, being completely unconcerned by the mess that their kid made. That's just, yeah, this is why I hate parents and dog owners. You know, it's actually pretty similar. I don't know how you are about this. I know that you said for dogs it's not this way, but yeah, kids like me too much too. Kids in public are always coming at me, and I'm like, hey, dog, that's stranger danger. Get out of my face.
I've never run into that.
When I was at that outdoor concert series, I was just hanging out with my friends, and dad was there with his kids, and his daughter comes up to give me a flower that she picked, and I was like, hey, dog, get the fuck out of my face. Yeah, it seems like we have, well, I don't know, what's the question, though? Do we even have different opinions on what the actual answer is?
I didn't say anything, what could I have done? It's not worth asking them to clean it up in the moment. No, I would just
ban them afterwards, yeah.
It seems like this type of rudeness bothers you a lot more than it does me. Like, I very rarely find people in my life objectionable for grabbing something in my house they shouldn't. Like, I'm usually pretty, you know, most of the stuff in my house is people can grab it. They can have a little bit if they want. What is this instinct? Is it like, it's just like, is it like a territorial thing?
It's people not having manners, not just asking. I would have given them some Trek Mix if they asked.
So you never say, hey, treat it like it's your house.
Make yourself never. Are you kidding me? I tell you to Kramer. I learned my lesson from watching Seinfeld as a kid.
I get why this annoys people, and I get that it does annoy people, which is why I do walk on eggshells in other people's houses. Would never bother me. Could never imagine myself being bothered that somebody like grabbed a banana and ate it at my place. I'd be like, good. Somebody should enjoy that banana.
All right. Yeah. So someone comes over and they eat the last of your little chocolates that you got from Lebanon that you were saving for a special occasion.
That seems a little more egregious if it's like wrapped or closed off.
Okay. Oh, banana's wrapped. Comes with its own wrapper.
Okay.
I just don't understand these parameters that you're setting, officer.
Adrian's like, so you're okay if somebody just comes over and fucks your wife?
Apparently, as long as they wrap it.
Okay, you want to get into the answer?
Yeah, let's see here. Let's hear how much they agree with me.
A right instinct, not to step between parents and their children, in this case led you to a wrong and incidentally ineffective action. You think the parents did not notice, but if the goo cleanup was as dramatic as you say, it might simply have embarrassed them. Either way, it underlined the rudeness being committed without providing a solution. If instead you had taken a peach, removed the pit, and cut a bite-sized slice for the child, all while engaging the parent in witty conversation.
That's what was missing?
You would have charmed the parent, immobilized the child, and prevented further damage to the house, all while appearing the perfect host. Miss Manners has seen similar quick thinking save many a rug.
Maybe the most specific advice we've ever gotten about how to solve a problem.
What if this person's a little slow and just not that witty?
Yeah, how are you supposed to, what if you can't figure out how to handle the downtime there? Not a lot of parental punishment in that one, but yeah, I think we basically settled it.
Yeah, I think I was misled by that title.
Yeah.
Do you want to describe the third segment?
Yeah, for the third segment, I found a random article from Bro Bible, I think, that...
Well, since I've been off Twitter and Reddit, I've been on Bro Bible every day. That's my new site.
Come on now. It is titled, Five Insane Crimes Committed by Children. I did not pre-read this, so Paul and I are going to read this and react to it. It's from Bro Bible, so I'm hoping it's not too scandalous or dark, but let's see. Let's get into it. Let's hear what we got to find out. I'll read the introduction. There have been plenty of disgustingly violent crimes all over the world.
But they hire the best writer, that Bro Bible.
But a few of the most insane crimes ever committed have actually come from children, as they have as they have found that being crazy was something that they were interested in at a young age. While you or I were doing things like stealing candy from the local convenience store or egging houses after sneaking out of your parents' basement, these kids were plotting how to become infamous for crimes that were a hell of a lot more intense. With the new horror movie Sinister 2 set to release on August 21st, it got us thinking about which of these crimes from kids was the most bizarre, and they left us with our jaws floored. Wait, when was this? 2022?
Did you realize that this was paid promotion for Sinister 2?
No, and I didn't watch Sinister 2, but I really liked Sinister 1. I just recommended it to Phil like earlier this week.
That's going to be so funny. I hope every crime has a little part in it. That's like like the protagonist of Sinister 2, this child.
That is true. There's some gruesome stuff in Sinister 1 with kids.
Okay, so we're going to decide how we would have...
How we would have disciplined these kids? Okay, let's do it.
Tyler Pagentetcher, the teenage drug lord. I won't say that I ever smoked marijuana while 17 years old, but there are plenty of my friends who weren't shy about puffing the chiba during our high school days. While my buddies would show up high to a few places and hope to avoid getting busted, 17-year-old Tyler Pagentetcher was out doing weed-starved teens everywhere, as he became a drug kingpin after selling hundreds of pounds worth of grass for a couple of years. Beginning to sell at age 15, Tyler instantly rose up the scene and started selling some high-end stuff. With the cops raiding his bedroom and finding $6,000 in cash, get this, $3 million worth of marijuana.
Hey, yo.
But if he actually only had $6,000 of cash, I feel like this is cop math where they weighed the bed that like the weed was like hidden under and they're like, it was 5,000 pounds of...
You don't think he was like a nonprofit and he really invested everything back into the into the product?
Even after the judge believed Pagentetcher was a pretty fine young person that went down a bad trail, the teenager was sentenced to serve 6 months to 3 years in juvenile prison.
Honestly, he should have gotten his parents in on it. I think they would have protected him a lot more if they had been in on it. I would have been like Boldy James's grandmother. Either cut me in or cut it out.
Yeah, that $3 million of weed thing, that's definitely cop math. He had like 5K of weed.
What are you talking about? One of the cops touched it and died.
I feel like this is just a story about a pretty successful high school drug dealer.
Fairly successful, yeah.
Like 6K is really good for a high school drug dealer, but like, I don't know.
I mean, that's savings, too. That's not even, like, him, like, spending a bunch of on dumb shit or whatever that kids spend money on. That would have all gone to Labubu's now.
I'm reading the follow-up article to try to find more,
Oh, is there a link?
Investigators confiscated more than 600 high-grade hydroponic marijuana plants being grown in two houses and a furniture warehouse. Oh, wait, actually, this does sound...
See? Like, you doubted our boy. You died of Tyler.
Maybe that is $3 million. I didn't realize it was 600 high-grade hydroponic marijuana plants.
Dude, that's crazy.
Okay, so
it's probably legal in his state now. He could probably get hired as a grower.
They made it sound like they found this in his bedroom. No, he apparently owned grow ops. That's a whole different situation.
He's getting his money up.
Okay, if I can't trust the reporting at brobible.com, who can I trust?
This is what I was getting at with the pack of cigarettes. If I found my kid with this much marijuana, I'd make him smoke an entire carton of marijuana. That way he'd never want to touch the stuff ever again.
Did this story make you want to watch Sinister 2? Or?
I think it makes me know what I want to do while I'm watching Sinister 2. I'll tell you, I'm be puffing on that chiba.
Oh, yeah. that was fun that they used the word chiba.
I have not heard that before or in a long time, I guess.
I think I've maybe heard it once before.
Yeah, but weed, you can kind of make anything into a slang for weed. No one really checks. How would you punish this kid?
I feel like he got too much. 6 months to 3 years in juvenile prison. I think you said it right. He has to smoke all $3 million worth of weed.
Smart idea. All right, so this is the next one. Two teenage girls rob bank clean. When you think of people robbing a bank, you probably don't imagine a few innocent-looking teenage girls being the ones pulling off the heist. Well, at least I don't. Typically, guys holding shotguns and covering their faces with ski masks is usually how something like that goes. But that wasn't the situation in 2010, when two Ohio teens were capable of pulling off one of the most successful bank robberies ever, taking home an undisclosed amount, aka a hell of a lot of cash. Estimated to be 14 and 12 years old, the two robbers probably didn't blow up all that, dough at a Toys R Us on Barbies either, showing that they were a little bit smarter than your average middle schoolers. With the 14-year-old calmly slipping the bank teller a note to give the thief the money, and the 12-year-old accomplice on the lookout for cops, the two made off without getting busted, which includes not avoiding getting grounded by their parents for ditching study hall. I think that means would be, which includes that they did avoid getting grounded, but... And there's no follow-up on this one. There's no link or follow-up.
Because I don't think they ever caught them. I clicked on the article, and it's just like they saw two young people rob a bank.
But then how do they know that they're 12 and 14?
The article I'm reading, it said 14 to 16 and 12 to 14. I think he just picked the lower end of the age range the cops guesstimated.
Interesting. Okay. Paul, what would you do besides grounding them for skipping study hall?
I mean, we can't punish these kids. They got away with it. This is a successful crime.
Oh, I think this is definitely one where they cut their parents in on it, and that's why they never told.
Yeah, actually, pretty good way to commit crime if you're a parent, because it's like, what, they go to juvie? That's like school plus. Not a big deal.
School plus? What, you were paying a subscription for school now?
Yeah, school plus, and the government's paying for it. Get your kids to commit crimes for you. They can't go to jail.
Yeah, I say no punishment for these kids. They did great.
If you get away with a crime like this, it's not good that they don't have like a moral compass, but I think
yeah, the only reason you'd rob a bank is because you don't have a moral compass. You wouldn't steal bread for your family, Paul.
It does show that they have initiative, they can execute on a plan.
They have commitment.
Solidarity, neither of them ratted on each other. I mean, this is a lot of, these kids are going to be successful anyway, and
yeah,
why would I punish them?
They're going to be healthcare CEOs at some point.
I wonder what the statute of limitations is on this, because I hope they do come out eventually and they're like, oh yeah, that was us.
Oh, I don't know if there is one for that. I don't know how that works.
Oh, you think bank robberies forever?
Let's get to the bling ring. As mentioned above, with the Ohio teens who took off with loads of cash from a bank, robbing someone doesn't require a hell of a lot of practice, as there's no telling who might be able to execute the perfect plan. Proof in point, the now infamous Bling Ring Robbers. Known for being mega fans of mega big stars in Hollywood, these teens were the subject of the 2013 flick The Bling Ring, showing how the kids were able to rip off some of the biggest names in Hollywood, breaking into the homes of stars like Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, and Audrina Partridge. Alright, one's not like the other. The girls were best known for taking high-end jewelry and clothing, otherwise known as a teenage girl's dream come true, before the cops caught up with them and spoiled the freebies. Still, the four girls, all either 18 or 19 years old, were able to snatch a few items from Los Angeles' elite. I assume in the short write-up we're not getting everything, but that does not seem like an interesting enough for a full movie. But then again, they made a whole movie about that one text chain that someone did on Twitter or whatever, but...
Oh, I've watched it. It's fine. It's a good movie. Emma Watson was in it.
Ooh, Emma Watson. That's what I was saying, is that this one just kind of seems like it'd be an okay movie.
Sofia Coppola directed it, I think.
So a Nepo baby. Oh, yeah. How did they describe it? That they were scamming them? Because they just robbed, right? They didn't really do any.
Yeah, they just checked, like, they basically just went on, like, Paris Hilton's social media, would see when she was out of town, and just, like, hop the fence and walk around her house.
If they wanted to do that with, but that happens to soccer players all the time, because people know when they're, like, out doing their games. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty common thing to have happen, yeah.
When you get put on a soccer team, does the manager not, like, set you up with, like, a little packet of, like, oh, here's how your life's gonna change, like, you should probably hire somebody... to, like, hang out at your house when you're out of town, or...
I mean, these kids get recruited at, like, 12, so I don't know who's supposed to be the first one to do that. I don't think it's part of their job description to onboard them that way.
So every player has to get robbed once to learn the lesson that they
need. Hey, welcome to Brooklyn, kid!
That doesn't seem like a good system either. I think we should have a guy that tells them you should get security for your house. When you're out of town, people will know and they'll rob you.
Yeah, get one of those Ring doorbell cameras. Now you're the police.
How should these kids be punished? I think they were caught.
They should have to write a letter of apology to all the people they stole from and why it's so wrong to steal from the elites.
Man, if they'd stopped early on, if you just stole, like, the amount of gold I would assume that, like, a Paris Hilton has in her house and were smart about what you grabbed, I feel like this actually could have been a very lucrative thing to do, but I guess once you do it a couple times, you feel like you have to keep going. But
that's
got to
be the inflection point in the movie, right? Is at one point someone's like, hey, we've gotten enough stuff, we don't need to do this anymore. And they're like, you're implicated with us, you got to keep going.
No, because that's in the movie, that's not the motivation. Like, they're just so into celebrities that they're doing it to feel like they are Paris Hilton. Like, they just love the lifestyle.
And then they skin her alive and wear her skin. That's crazy. That's a crazy movie.
And that's why you should watch, what was that movie that this was all an ad for?
The Bling
that's
Ring.
Why you should watch Sinister,
oh, Sinister
2.
Well, it's a great double feature with The Bling Ring.
Okay. Next up, we have the final one, Mary Bell Will. At 11 years old, there are very few people who are plotting a ridiculous murder, let alone following through with the plans. For Mary Bell in 1968, though, that's exactly what she was doing.
This is like journalism 101 middle school level writing.
This is one of the worst written articles. Of
For most kids, thinking about murdering somebody is probably a pretty far off thought. For little Mary Bell, that's exactly what she was thinking.
After being found guilty for the manslaughter of two boys in Newcastle in the United Kingdom, Bell served 12 years in prison for her heinous crime, which involved Bell's strangling a four-year-old boy to death and dismembering a three... Is this another one where we should skip it because it's scary?
I mean, there's only five, bro. This is the last one.
Bell served 12 years in prison for her heinous crimes, which involved Bell strangling a four-year-old boy to death and and then it goes into her gruesome and sad backstory, and I'm not gonna read that.
Hey, leave it up to the Brits.
I'm not a fan of true crime podcasting. I know a lot of people are. I don't wish them any ill will. I believe that's a completely valid thing to enjoy. I don't enjoy it. I'm not going to read that. It gets disgusting, as you can imagine.
All right, and how would you punish this child?
You want to get down to their level, because children, it's like if you kneel and you're eye to eye with them, they hear what you're saying a lot more. And you're going to explain to them in a calm but friendly voice that what they did was wrong. And then...
But what if she starts to feel stabby?
I'm an adult, Adrian. Okay, I think I can handle a child.
Oh, okay, all right.
The most sinister child of all time.
Yeah, I was about to say, you look like... You kind of look like Caillou, who kind of looks like a little boy. So I'm not going to lie. I would be a little bit scared.
Why? How would you handle...
Oh, I would do that really cute thing where you like do Hannibal Lecter style, wrapping her up and putting a mask on her. That way, like, people who don't know what happened are like, that's hilarious. And everyone else is like, no, you don't understand.
Committing that gruesome a crime at that young age,
yeah, something ain't right. That girl ain't right. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, did you have any final thoughts on that?
You know, when are we going to figure this thing out? In 100 years, are we going to be done with parenting books? Or when is this going to end? When are we going to figure out the perfect way
to
raise kids?
Way to parent.
Or we'll figure out all of them, you know? You do the typing on your kid, and then you do the genetics, and then you know which one to use.
You think we need to give all these kids the Myers-Briggs assessment, and then...
No, like, something scientific, not something made by psychologists.
Oh, something scientific. We'll give them facet 5, and then when we know that they're like a leader-type personality, how we'll know that they need the Holstein method.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, my no-cap is, when it comes to our audience, I'm not mad at you guys, I'm just disappointed.
And my big fact is, just wait till Adrian comes back on this podcast. He'll take care of you. I know what this audience did.
Daddy's home, baby. Bye, Daddy's home, and he's just had an NA beer. He's ready to whoop your ass.
Is that what that was? I was wondering if you were drinking apple juice.
No, I got this from the... it's one of those old brands, too. It's really nice because it's cheap.
I was like, is this a very light cider or an apple juice?
No, it's an NA beer. Oh, Halligan's?
Oh, Halligan.
Yeah. Tell you what. Okay. All right.
Everybody raise a glass up for O'Halligan's.
Yeah. So raise your glass if you are wrong. In all the right ways, this is the ending song for Internet and Podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Adrian
yeah.
got zooted off that NA beer.